great hymns, songs so far, and three more to go. What I'm going to do right now is bring you a message from the Word of God. So if you have a Bible with you, you could turn to the book of John. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Most of the verses that we'll be using today are on this sheet. If you'd like to turn to the inner fold, you can be following along on what we'll be saying today if you'd like to do that. Let's ask God's help as we get started. Lord, this service is bathed in prayer today, and we continue to pray, and we pray that you would work out your will and your way in our lives. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, we've been working on this service for some time now, probably since the beginning of the year, and we're so excited that it's finally come to be the day. It's come together this day. As I remember, the process began with Miriam when she expressed a desire to be baptized, and we announced at church that we're going to have a baptismal service later in the year, and if others would want to come and join, we'd be glad for them to come. And Chloe was very excited that she wanted to be baptized too. You see, Sky, Chloe's mum, had recently rededicated her life to Christ, and then she'd led her daughter, Chloe, to the Lord. So, Sky and Chloe are going to be baptized today along with Miriam. Later, Mandy and her son Jude started attending our church, and they had a lot of questions about baptism, and they both decided that this was something that they wanted to do. So, Nolene and I, my wife Nolene here, and I have been through a baptismal Bible study with all of these folk, Miriam, Sky and Chloe, Mandy and Jude, and they very well understand what they're doing today. An actual baptism takes about 30 seconds when we get to it a little bit later on, but it's going to take a little more time if you would allow me to explain what is happening when we do a baptism. Certainly there's a lot of different ideas about baptism, when to baptize, how to baptize, and what is achieved when you do baptize someone. But the question we need to answer is, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about baptism? Because the Bible is our manual for life and practice. I would summarize what the Bible says about baptism in one bold, clear statement. Baptism saves no one. But baptism is a step of obedience. Baptism saves no one. But baptism is a step of obedience. Baptism is a step of obedience followed by a walk of obedience in the Christian life. Baptism and the Christian walk that follows evidences two realities in our lives. The first reality demonstrated by baptism and the Christian walk that follows is belonging to Jesus Christ. Those being baptized today are saying by this baptism that they belong to Jesus Christ. They already belong to Jesus Christ. It's a testimony of their faith that is in Him. And though they're not baptized yet, they already have that faith in Him. They know that baptism saves no one, and by being baptized, they're saying that they are already saved. So what do I mean by saved? If you have your sheet there, have a look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. What do we mean by saved? Well, that verse contrasts the word saved with the word condemned, and that helps us to understand what it means. It is the opposite of condemned. You see, dear friends, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Every person on planet Earth is either saved to be with God forever, or they're condemned out of His presence to be away from Him from all eternity. Every person on planet Earth is either saved or condemned. Which are you today? That verse says again, verse 16 that we just read, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes will be saved. A person is saved by belief, by faith. This is repeated again and again in the scripture. I wouldn't have time to list all the verses today, but two examples. First of all, the well-known verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says similarly, that's also on your sheet, for by grace, grace is God's gift, for by grace you have been saved, how? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God's, not of works. In other words, you can't work at this, you can't by your good life earn salvation. No, it's not of works, lest anyone should boast, the scripture says. And that scripture is there before you. So please understand, no amount of doing good things is going to save you. No amount of church attendance in and of itself will save you. Taking communion will not save you. Bible reading alone will not save you. Saying prayers will not save you. Baptism will not save you. Confirmation will not save you. Or any other church ritual will not save you. No church can save you. Jesus Christ alone can save you. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 on your sheet says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Faith in Jesus Christ alone saves. One man who had come to the end of himself cried out, it's there on your sheet, Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was in the very next verse, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. This truth applies to you and applies to anyone else who would want to come to God. You must do it through Jesus Christ. So it applies to you. When this man cried out, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The answer was, this applies to you, and the same thing applies to your household. They must be saved by faith also. Me getting saved does not guarantee my children are going to be saved. They must exercise faith in the living God in the same way. So why then, if salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, why then does that verse that we started with, Matthew 16 and verse 16, say, he who believes and is baptized will be saved? Well, the answer to that is because baptism is the public testimony that I have been saved. It's belief first, and then it is baptism. You see, without being baptized, somebody saying that they're saved might be just hot air. In fact, Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not every person who claims to be a Christian really is. And that's why when we look at some people's lives, they don't add up as being Christians, probably because they're not. So those who have believed are asked to be baptized. And so this baptism becomes an evidence of their faith. There is only one condition for baptism. Just as there is only one condition for salvation, there's only one condition for baptism. One man asked in Acts chapter 8 and verse 36 on your sheets, see, here is water. We've got a whole tank of it here. See, is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And the answer was, if you believe with all your heart, you may. There's only one requirement, one condition for baptism. If you believe with all your heart, you may. So, to put that same thing in other words, that same verse in other words, you must have believed in Jesus Christ to be baptized. If you do not fulfill this condition, any attempt at baptism is merely getting wet. This is not special water, but the act in obedience to Christ is special. Therefore, babies cannot be baptized because they have not yet believed. The one requirement for baptism is that they have believed. Children can be baptized. We have some older children, preteens, being baptized today. They can believe. They can be baptized because they have already believed. And adults can be baptized. Adults, if they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, can be baptized too. So that answers the question, when can baptism occur? It can occur any time after belief. And ideally, it should occur soon after belief. So I'll ask each person who's being baptized today, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin? If they answered that question no, then I wouldn't be able to baptize them. I mean, we could go through the ceremony, but it would be meaningless because they haven't yet believed. So what is necessary for salvation? Faith alone, but it's got to be real faith. It's not just faith in faith. One evidence that the faith is real is the request for baptism. It's kind of a humbling thing to get in this tank in front of everyone and be baptized in this way. And that comes out of a real faith in the Lord Jesus. Baptism is one evidence that you belong. Because it's a step of obedience, it's one evidence that you belong to the Lord Jesus. And the life of obedience that follows is a further evidence that you belong to the Lord Jesus. All those being baptized today believe that Jesus Christ is their Savior from sin. They have believed and that they are sinners needing to be saved. Romans 3:23, for example, on your sheet says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Because we're all sinners, we all die. That's just the reality of our nature. Because of their sin, they deserve, each of us here, and indeed those being baptized today, because of their sin, they deserve condemnation. They deserve death, but they have exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they have been saved. They've been saved from that condemnation. Romans 10 and verse 9 explains, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So there's a heart matter and there is a confession matter, and they're confessing their love to the Lord Jesus and their desire to follow him today. I wonder where you are today spiritually. Jude, who's being baptized, wrote in his little testimony, "I've trusted in Jesus Christ," and he quoted the same verse that I quoted, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved," Acts 16:31. He also wrote, "I don't remember a time when I didn't go to church, read my kids' Bible with Mama, and know and love Jesus, even though I have grown in wisdom and stature." Then he adds, "I'm being baptized today because it is a step of obedience and not a salvation issue." So Judas responded in faith and he wants to obey the Lord Jesus. I wonder where you are spiritually today. Every one of us comes here today with a set of spiritual beliefs. If you are wrong about any of those beliefs, would you want to know? If you have been confronted what the Bible says today, as I've shared with you these Bible verses, are you willing to be corrected by the Bible? May I ask to your heart today, are you a sinner? Do you want forgiveness for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and rose again? Because that's the exact symbolism that we're going to portray as we get into this tank. Pablo read a little bit earlier that passage from Romans. It says that we are baptized into Christ Jesus, so that when Christ Jesus died, those who believe in him also died from their old life. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, those who believe in him have also risen to new life. And that's exactly symbolized by the going under the water in the tank and coming up out of the water in the tank. The going under the water symbolizing that I have died to my old life, and coming up symbolizing I have new life in Christ, and also symbolizing what Jesus did. He died and rose for us. So sprinkling does not carry this symbolism. The word baptism actually means immersion, and if it had been translated, it would have been translated immersion. So sprinkling cannot portray that dying to the old life and coming up to the new life, as Romans chapter 6 requires. So where are you today? Dear friend, can I ask, are you willing to give Jesus Christ control of your life? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "And he died for all." That's your name in there. "He died for all, that those who should live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." He wants you to live for him. Are you willing to give your life to him? Are you willing to ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Because he's surely knocking. He's surely knocking on heart doors today. When his word goes out, God promises it will accomplish what is purposed by it. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Jesus Christ wants to fellowship with you. He wants friendship with you. He wants to come in, but he will not force his way in. The handle is on the inside. You have to open the door and let him into your life. Those being baptized today have asked Jesus Christ into their lives and they've given him control of their lives. May I ask, are you ready to do that too? As you watch them being baptized, confessing that they want to follow the Lord Jesus. Now I've asked you to open to the book of John. If you're not there, I'll read the verse to you. It's John 8 and verse 31. And Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you continue to obey me, you are my disciples indeed. If you continue to obey me, then you demonstrate that you belong to me. And so by being baptized in obedience to the Lord Jesus, they are demonstrating that they belong to him. Baptism is certainly required, for the first verse we read, Mark 16 and verse 16 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." And obedience shows that you belong to Jesus. The second reality demonstrated to be true by baptism and the Christian life that follows is loving Jesus. Just flip over to John 14 and verse 21. A couple of chapters further on. I'll read this to you if you haven't got a Bible in front of you. John 14 and verse 21. It says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." If you continue to obey my word, the Lord Jesus says, that is an evidence that you love me. Baptism is a good choice, but those being baptized today will want to follow that baptism by a life of obedience and love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is the public declaration that you're going to follow Christ. You may have been walking with Christ for many years before this time, but baptism is the public commitment to Jesus as Lord and the way that he asked us to do it. In making Jesus Lord of your life, you set aside all personal desires, all personal agendas, all personal goals and passions and pastimes. You're allowing Jesus to be at the steering wheel of your life and take control of what you do. Jesus instructed us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 on your sheets, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And again in the book of Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells a parable about the excuses that people give for not responding to his invitation to come. Those who will not respond to his invitation to come to him will not respond to his invitation to follow him either. And it works the other way around. Those who won't follow him won't come to him. Let's listen to this parable on your sheets in verses 16 to 20 of that chapter. "Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant out at supper time to say that to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask to have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. Am I going to test them? I ask to have me excused.' And still another said, 'I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come.'" Did you hear those excuses? 3 different men, 3 different excuses, which are absolutely typical of our excuses. When you hear Jesus Christ knocking on the door of your heart, when you hear his invitation to come, follow him. The first says his possessions are of greater importance than Christ. Verse 18 again. The first said, "I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." The second, being a farmer, said that his work was of greater importance than responding to the invitation of Christ in his life. Verse 19 said, another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. And the last one says his family is of greater importance than following the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. I was speaking to a man recently and I asked him, are you a sinner? He said, yes. I said, do you want forgiveness for your sins? He said, yes. I said, okay. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again in your place? He thought about that a little bit and he said, yes, I do. But when I asked if he was willing to give Jesus Christ control of his life, he looked down and he looked to the side and he thought, he lifted his eyebrows and he couldn't say anything. It's the issue, isn't it? If you're not ready to follow Christ, you're not ready to come to Christ. Those being baptized today have come to Christ for salvation. And this is their testimony. Yes, I am going to follow Christ. So as I stand there with each of those being baptized, I'm going to ask them, have you decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart? And if they said no, we would not be able to baptize them. So as brothers and sisters, many of us here have been saved and baptized, and therefore we are saved. We've believed and been baptized. We need to encourage each other. We've all made a promise when we've come to this baptismal tank that we're going to follow the Lord Jesus. We need to encourage each other, don't we? Dear brother, dear sister, are you keeping that promise that you made to the Lord Jesus when you stood in the baptismal tank? A bit like a wedding today, you know, when you do a wedding, everyone that's there is renewing their vows in their hearts. I hope that's what happens. Well, as we see these people baptized today, let's renew in our hearts. Yes, Lord Jesus, I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. I would say to those being baptized today, people are going to be watching. Make sure that your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ is real. Make sure that you spend individual time with the Lord Jesus each day. Make sure that being with your brothers and sisters on Sundays is your priority. Make sure that you come with your brothers and sisters to worship Him. Make sure that you turn from all worldly entertainments and goals and pleasures. Make sure that Jesus Christ is indeed the love of your heart, the passion and the desire of your life. He is everything to you and your priority. Make sure that you do not hide your love for Him, but live your life before people and be ready to speak a word of the hope that is in you. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, that's say no to self, take up his cross daily, that's to die to our old life, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? What are you going after in life? There's nothing more important than being saved. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. So to those being baptized today, I say, may God fill you with all of his love and his peace and his joy. May he give you a fruitful life. May your life touch others around you. May he bless you and bless you again. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, I would pray, not first of all for the baptismal candidates, but I pray for those who are here and listening. Lord, if at all anyone is without the Saviour, I pray that in your grace and your mercy, they might open the door of their heart to you today and be saved. They might put their trust in you. And for those of us who have said we would follow you, but have drifted over time, oh Lord, I pray that we would renew our commitment to you today, that we would follow you with all our heart, our love would rest upon you, And Lord, it'd be our delight to obey you. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.